CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome Gregory Zuckerman of the Wall Street Journal, a special writer attending to pharmaceuticals that saved the earth. We're talking about the vaccine. Gregory was the man who introduced me to Moderna and other adventures early on in the pursuit of the vaccine. Well, it's here. I've had Moderna. I know my friends have had Pfizer. Johnson & Johnson is relatively new, but we now see the vaccine in all parts of America, including walk-ins at drugstores. So what is next for the variants that we know are plaguing the earth right now, burning through India, and also the variants in South America, unknowns? Do we need a booster? What is the future? Gregory and his colleague are publishing right now. The future is? Gregory, a very good evening to you. I thought nothing could surprise me about the vaccine. But for heaven's sakes, nasal spray? Tell me about nasal spray. How will it work? Is it a booster or is it the real thing? Good evening to you, Gregory.
Good evening and lovely and wonderful to be with you as always. I'll take a step back first and kind of say, why is anyone building, creating, developing new COVID vaccines? Aren't these that we have unbelievably effective? And they are as much as 95% or so effective. Some of the mRNA ones, the one you got, the Moderna one, and with the variants, though, not quite as effective, but still quite very effective. So why all this effort? And there are over 200 different companies or government agencies, scientists, et cetera, working on new and improved vaccines. And the reason is there are ways to improve existing vaccines, be it the fact that the Moderna and Pfizer ones need to be kept at cold temperatures, and that is really not ideal for developing countries, lower income countries where you don't have the cold storage, or just the fact that, as you suggested, there are these variants and we've got to deal with them, and maybe we can come up with even better vaccines. And as you had said, one of the approaches is a nasal approach, a nasal spray. And there are good reasons for that. There's a company called Altimmune. They're not the only ones. There are other ones that are approaching that idea. And it wouldn't be necessarily a boost. It would be the one that you would maybe you get two, like that we have the two shots right now. But the idea would be this is a respiratory pathogen. So what better way to tackle it, according to these scientists, these companies, than to use a nasal spray? So there is that approach. But there are a lot of other interesting new ones, too. And the more scientists you talk to, the more impressed you get by their creativity.
Right. Let's go to Vaxart. This is a tablet that would be, again, is this booster or primary tablet for the first time? Do we know, Gregory?
It's a primary one. And listen, I'm a skeptical journalist. When I hear a new and improved, when I hear something as simple as a pill, I get a little skeptical. But and they're not a company like Altimmune, like a few of the other ones. They're not companies that have track records. But one thing we have learned is that you've got to have an open mind when it comes to the science and the vaccines, because as we had suggested earlier, Moderna had never created any kind of product anyone had ever been approved before, and yet they're the ones saving lives. And you could say the same thing about a Novavax, which may be approved shortly. So yes, Vaxart, like others, is coming up they're working on a pill. Let's see if it works or not.
All right. The challenges I learned from your reporting at the Journal, finding someone to test this on, and that seems to be right now a challenge around the world, to find test groups for all kinds of countries. How are they going about it? Do they have a solution for that? Do they ask for volunteers?
Yeah, it is a challenge, as you suggest, and we can all understand why. I mean, why would I volunteer for a new kind, a next-gen, as we call them, vaccine, when I've got one that's 95% effective or so, or 90, let's say, right, down the block at my CVS? And there are ethical issues. Even if people are willing, maybe even if you pay them, is it ethical to even test them? But there are ways to make the tests and do some trials. And, maybe it's a matter of doing them in places like India, which sadly, in other places, Brazil are struggling. So I know some of the companies have shifted their focus in terms of the trials away from places like the United States to some of these other countries.
The competition is ferocious around the world for what you know is called vaccine diplomacy. There's also vaccine nationalism, which has raged through Europe these last months, competing things. So I don't want to go down that path other than to say that it didn't exist when we talked about Moderna. And some countries have a surplus of vaccine. Other countries have are ordering different vaccines at different times. Or there's the Chinese versions of the vaccine. There's the Russian versions of the vaccine. That brings me back to what you're reporting on, that the well-known companies, that would be Glaxo and Sanofi and Pfizer, are all also pursuing additional vaccines. Now, why, Gregory, why would the big companies keep pursuing vaccines after they have one?
Well, for a company like Pfizer, which they didn't even develop this, it was a company called BioNTech that did, and they partnered with them. Pfizer wants to improve the durability. Just today, the CEO came out and said he thinks that we're going to need a booster after 6 months. That's not ideal. Some people are going to be hesitant about it coming back after 6 months and getting a vaccine. So they want to improve on that. Some of the other ones like Sanofi, as you mentioned, they've been a laggard. A lot of us were really excited about them early on. They're a vaccine company, and yet they've been slow and had some struggles. But frankly, their approach, it's basically injecting the protein, the spike protein itself, as opposed to sending a message. They're a little bit like Novavax. You inject the protein itself. So I think if they are successful, given their track record and given the protein approach, there'll be a market for that. And we have to remember that these are global. It's a global pandemic. So we really need to be helping other countries, if we want to be selfish. I mean, if you worry about the mutations, as we do in the variants, that only happens because not everyone is vaccinated. So we really have to vaccinate everyone. And as a result, some of these companies are trying to develop new and improved versions of these vaccines to try to help those both in our country, but elsewhere too.
The Walter Reed Army Institute of Research, which sounds like the spooky start of a thriller. What are they up to, Gregory? Do we know?
Yeah, they're traditional scientists. I deal with them frequently. They're impressive in their dedication to our country and the Army. They're members of the Army, and they are dedicated to our nation, and they're fighting for us all, and they're scientists on par with anybody. And they've got other approaches. One of them is a bit of a mix and match approach. So maybe hypothetically you get Moderna first and then the BioNTech one second, or vice versa. Or maybe J&J is your prime and then you get boosted with the Novavax. Who knows? Maybe those are better approaches, and they're trying some of those. They call them the tricks and cocoa pups, or that internally they call that approach, with the idea being it's like a kid who opens the cupboard and wants some breakfast and tries a few different types of cereals. Maybe that's the best approach. It's not clear. You know, we still don't know everything about these vaccines, everything about the pathogen itself, the virus. So we're still learning. So maybe mixing and matching is the best approach.
Secondary effects. People experience fever after the second shot, or they have anxiety about the needles. Do they worry about that? We've got less than a minute, Gregory. Do they worry about needles and fevers?
Well, yes, that's one of the reasons why they're trying these nasal or pill approaches. I mean, we are at the point where I think most of us who've gone through the experience realize the side effects are relatively minor, but we're getting to the point where there's some people where who are still hesitant, so we want to address that.
Gregory Zuckerman, writing for the Wall Street Journal about the next frontier. Remember, Gregory found Moderna before anybody recognized that was going to be part of the solution for saving planet Earth. Gregory reporting most recently with his colleague Peter Loftus at the Wall Street Journal. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.